Thank the Lord for a beautiful day. And I apologize for my drawing ability there. You probably can't tell what I've drawn, so I will explain it. I have an illustration. One of these is illustrating a pitcher full of pure water. And the other one has a pitcher with water that is runoff from cleaning up the floor of a dairy barn. Some debris in there, dead flies. Two different contents of pitchers. And this represents our souls. Our souls are containers. And our souls can have different content within them. We can have the Holy Spirit contained in our soul. Pure. Desirable. Nothing unclean there. Or we can have within our souls unclean spirits. Is that realistic today? Are there unclean spirits today? Do you read about unclean spirits in the news? Do people say, this man went out and committed serial killings because he was possessed with unclean spirits? Is that the kind of news account you read? Or did all of that go away in the day of Jesus? Now, Jesus encountered people with unclean spirits. So I ask you, are there unclean spirits in the world today? Well, not if you ask some folks. They won't acknowledge any unclean spirits. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27, when he went forth to land, there met him out of a city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because, notice this, many devils were entered into him. Our souls are like containers that can contain spirits that are unclean, that will cause us to do things that are not natural. Things that, if you were in your right mind, you would consider to be repulsive. Unclean spirits cause people to do things like that. We have another incident in Luke chapter 9 and verse 38. Behold, Luke 9 and 38, behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. An unclean spirit. Today, in this nation, we have rapists, we have child molesters, we have serial killers, we have cannibals in this country. Now, I will acknowledge the cannibals have not yet come out of the closet. I anticipate that happening. We have a plague called homosexuality in this nation. Unclean spirits have been turned loose, and they are spreading through the internet, through entertainments that people are indulging in and addicted to. And as a result, their container is becoming very foul. Imagine flies buzzing around, foul odors coming out of this container. Filthy. Well, the Word of God teaches us to sanctify ourselves. Now, to sanctify is to set apart for holy or religious use. It is to purify. And I'd like to read in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 10. Leviticus 8 and 10, Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. Now, the vessels of the tabernacle were to be used only for sacred purposes. They were not to be borrowed because someone in the village was having a wedding feast and they needed more vessels and they wanted the beautiful vessels. So, run down to the tabernacle and borrow all the vessels and bring them to the wedding feast. That was not permitted. They were set aside for holy use. The vessels of the tabernacle were not to be loaned out to the local apothecary so that he could mix up medicines to sell and then give them back when he was finished. They were for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was sacred use. The temple had to be clean. Hezekiah was a good king, and he chose to cleanse the temple. Let us read in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Second Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 20 and 5 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord. This is the first thing he did, it sounds like. Or real close to first, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. So, sanctify the house of God. Set it apart for holy use. Cleanse it. What did it need to be cleaned from? Well, imagine if for years it had been neglected. Rubbish may have been accumulating in the temple. Rat's nests, perhaps. Cobwebs. Neglected. Abandoned. And it needed a cleaning up. Did you know that people have neglected their spiritual container? Their souls for years. And rubbish has been accumulating. And things that are unclean. I do not like mice and rats. They are so filthy. They make a place stink. Things need to be cleaned up. And it needs to be purified. Well, let's go to verse 15. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And on the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof and the shewbread table and all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. A previous king abandoned that which was sacred, did not place the proper value. But King Hezekiah, we have restored those things. We have sanctified. We have purified. Today, if we are living for the Lord, we are the vessels of the Lord. Let us read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Second Timothy 2 and 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. There's some cleaning that needs to take place, and after that is done, then we can be a vessel unto honor to the Lord. We are to be set apart from the world. Did you know that modern Christianity, so-called, has mixed itself with the world so much that really you cannot distinguish them from the world unless they happen to mention that they're supposedly Christians? The music that they listen to sounds just like the music of the world unless you happen to catch some of the lyrics to understand that that's supposedly a Christian song, all mixed together. I'm amazed. I go into a lot of people's homes and I will see evidences of the world, of sinfulness, and I will see a crucifix on the wall or a scripture, a plaque entering the house about this being the Lord's house or whatever. And then you go in and you discover a lot of evidence that it doesn't appear to me that this is a place of holiness. We are not to mix it all together. We are to be apart from the world, separate from the world, not to participate of the sinful things of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Second Corinthians 6 and 17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. A vessel of the Lord is to be separate from this world, not identified by the fashions of the world, the lifestyle of the world, but separate and set aside apart. In dedicating the temple, Solomon's temple, a sacrifice was made. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. Second Chronicles 7 and 1. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. A sacrifice was made in dedicating the temple to God, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Spiritually, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 12, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now remember, Solomon, when he dedicated the temple to God, offered a sacrifice to God. And our bodies are the temple of God. So we are to offer, according to Romans 12 and 1, our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So I want you to notice several steps here. One is that we are to purify ourselves. We are to prepare ourselves for an infilling. Secondly, we are to consecrate our bodies. We are to set our bodies aside for the purpose of the Lord, serving the Lord only. Not serving sin, not serving our flesh, not being just like the world except having a Christian profession, but setting ourselves apart, being different from the world. One, purify. Two, separate ourselves. Consecrate ourselves. Sanctify ourselves. And number three, God fills us with His Holy Spirit. The question is, who will God sanctify? Let us read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Ephesians 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. Who? Who is Christ sanctifying and cleansing? The church. With the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Sanctification is for the church. Let us read in John 17 the high priestly prayer of Jesus. John 17 and 9 explains who Jesus is praying for. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. So Jesus, in this prayer, is praying for His disciples. Then we move to verse 17, and Jesus is praying, again, for His disciples. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. I'd like to turn to Acts chapter 1. I believe that our teaching should be based on a solid biblical foundation. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Who is Jesus speaking to? It was His disciples. And He was promising them that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And notice in verse 8 it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto all the uttermost parts of the earth. It is a promise for the believers. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10. John the Baptist was preaching Matthew 3 and 10, and now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but He that cometh after Me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire is powerful. Fire has the ability to consume. Fire can change things permanently. There is power in the Holy Ghost. Fire has the power to kill. James said, behold, what a great matter a little the tongue kindleth. What a great... How does it go? What a great fire, what a great matter. So, fire is very powerful. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 and 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. These cloven tongues of fire could represent the power and authority of the gospel being preached in various languages around the world. The Holy Ghost is powerful. Let us read in verse 9. Let's see. Acts chapter 4. In verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, this Peter that preached in such a powerful way on that day with such boldness that people marveled is the same Peter that denied the Lord, that forsook him in the garden. But after Peter was converted, after Peter repented, after Peter was baptized with the Holy Ghost, he preached with power and authority that amazed people. I want to encourage you to receive the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Very much needed in our world today. Let's move to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and 29 says, Our God is a consuming fire. I want to give you an illustration, and that is of wheat with chaff. The chaff is not good for food, but it doesn't mean that it's diseased. It does not mean that it's corrupt. It's simply useless for us for food. It's something that can be consumed by fire and removed. There are things in Christians' lives that are not sinful, but are interfering with their ability to please the Lord like they should, that interfere with their power in life. And there is a consuming fire that will help prune those things, to help take care of those needs, to help that person mature. I'd like to back that up with some scripture, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. verse 1. Brethren, who's Paul speaking to? Sinners? No, it's brethren. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet are ye now able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? One says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Carnal Christians, the power of the Holy Ghost is to burn carnality, to help us mature into what the Lord would really have us to be. It's to burn inferior materials out of our lives. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about hindrance. I'm talking about unnecessary weights that can hinder us in our Christian race. If we move down to verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There are materials that are inferior that we need to get burned out of our lives. Carnality. The Holy Ghost will give us inspiration in our lives. Let us move to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts 4 and 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Do you lack boldness in your life? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 21 and verse 10. As we tarried there many days, there came from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost was talking with this man. The Holy Ghost was helping this man understand events of the future. The Holy Ghost is so valuable. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. The Holy Ghost brings inspiration. We believe and teach the Bible doctrine that there are two works of grace. Now, Satan does not want you to have the benefit of the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. So, he has devised a plan. And that plan is to get you to believe that when you get saved, you get everything that you need. That you don't have to worry about tarrying at Jerusalem to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 14 and verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye shall know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So Jesus was speaking of present. He's saying, he dwelleth with you. But he also spoke of the future, and he said, he shall be in you. In other words, you shall be infilled with the Holy Ghost. I'll pray to the Father, and he will give you this other comforter. So it sounds like a change was to happen, something in the future. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. One time Paul was traveling and he found certain disciples and he asked them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? In other words, there is something more to full salvation than simply being saved. Have you received the Holy Ghost? And I think that's a good question for us today. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? The Holy Ghost is a comforter. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Do you ever need comfort in your life? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a comforter with you all the time? I've needed the comforter. I found that there are some sorrows in life. Some that I felt like I could not bear of my own. I'm so thankful for a comforter that will fill us. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. There Jesus defined it for us, didn't he? The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. What a wonderful blessing. It said that Jesus told them things and they couldn't understand what he was saying to them. But fortunately, he sent the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to bring to their remembrance, oh, I remember Jesus said this and he said that. And the Holy Ghost enabled them to help tie that into the prophecies, and they went out and became very powerful apostles that helped transform the world. We need the Holy Ghost today. The Holy Ghost will give us words to speak. Have you ever spoken and wished you wouldn't have said what you just said? Let's read in Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. Mark 13 and 11, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. What a valuable gift from the Lord. With the Holy Ghost, there is also a promise of eternal life. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto redemption of the purchased possession unto the praises of his glory. Now, the definition of earnest is installment paid to confirm a contract. Sign a contract, you put your money down to show that you really mean it, that you're going to stand behind your word. That's the comparison that Paul is making to the Holy Ghost. When we receive the Holy Ghost and he fills our lives, when he is our comforter, our teacher, our guide, our power, we just got a taste of heaven in our souls. That gives us hope that on the day of resurrection, we will be resurrected to eternal life. Adam Clark says this, all those who believe in Christ Jesus are considered as his peculiar people and property, and to them eternal glory is promised. The Spirit of promise which is given them is a pledge that they shall have a resurrection from the dead and eternal blessedness. The redemption or bringing to life of the body cannot take place till the day of judgment, but the Holy Spirit promises this redemption and is now in their hearts as an earnest or pledge of this complete restoration at that great day. Lord, give us this power. It was prophesied of John the Baptist that he would come in the spirit and the power of Elias. Elias was the same as Elijah in the Old Testament. Was Elijah a powerful prophet? He prayed and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven. He prayed again and it rained on the earth. The drought was broken. Elijah prayed and the dead rose again. The spirit and power of Elias. Lord, give us that power. power today? Do we need power? Are there spirits that are pressing against us? Are there temptations? Are there unclean forces that are rising in power, that are becoming more predominant in this country? I want to encourage you. Seek with all your heart the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Set your heart aside as being the temple of the Lord. Make sure it is completely clean. Make a sacrifice to the Lord. Lord, I give you my heart, my will, my body will be yours, Lord, forever. And the Lord will give you the gift of His Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift. What a hope for that blessed resurrection day, that when we are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, that it just gives us that added assurance that I will rise again and be with the Lord. Amen.